to Searching for Joy this holiday season. Hello, everybody. I'm Greg Chandler. I am a pastor in Lexington, Kentucky, and have served two different churches over the course of about 25 years. Joining me today is licensed clinical social worker, Don Sizemore of Hello. Don Sizemore and Associates. How
yes,
are you, sir?
I'm fine. How about you?
Doing well. Awesome. Thank you, sir. Happy holiday season to you.
Absolutely.
So that's something we say, right? We say happy holidays. We say Merry Christmas, right?
Christmas.
Yes.
Merry, yeah.
And that's what we're supposed to say this time of year.
And feel.
Very interesting. So it isn't that we just say it, but we're supposed to feel it as well. And this is part of what we want to talk about today, Don, is if this is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, as we're told through music and commercials, why is it so difficult for some people to find joy this holiday season, especially if they've experienced some measure of loss or change in their life?
Yeah, well, that is tough. And I think folks that have gone through that, it brings back memories of the loss is what I think happens. So these moments of holiday times, it's not so much that they go back to the times, and you'd have to ask them, and perhaps somebody can answer that. But what I see happen, or what I think happens, is that the memory of the loss comes back in full force. So that these times when we're supposed to be happy, when we should be upbeat, when everybody's hanging out and having fun, church or family feast, there it triggers their memories of what happened and what's not here, of who's not here and what happened. So it's almost like a PTSD type thing, a post-traumatic, you know, response where they're back in that again.
Right.
And that's painful and frightening.
That can be surprising at times too, right? That can catch someone off guard. They're not necessarily prepared for that, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I think of the imagery this time of year. I love the movie, forgive me, but National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah,
and there's that scene where Clark has, you know, his house is just completely adorned with like tens of thousands of lights. And he's standing back admiring
his work, the
beauty of his creation. And he turns to the side, and standing there, much to his shock, is Cousin Eddie. Cousin Eddie just was there without Clark knowing that he was going to be there. And that's kind of the way. And not to minimize pain at all, but I think to bring to life the truth of it.
Shows up.
And it's like, and Cousin Eddie, he changed the complete context of the season for Clark and his family. And I wonder if
chaos
for a lot of people,
in.
It was chaos. And I wonder if for a lot of people, the holidays are a lot like a visit from Cousin Eddie more than they are sugar plums dancing in our heads.
Well, it sure seems that way. And I can't say I've had that happen. In my life, you know, I don't know what it's like to really miss someone at holiday time. I've had a death. My folks have passed away, but they were older and had gone through a life. So, but when you think about a family like my sister-in-law, they had a 7-year-old handicapped child die. On them. It's the only one they had. They went through a hard time taking a care of her, and then she's gone. And, you know, so we've walked with them in the pain that they've had of having, and I can't even fathom how much it would hurt to lose your child. So I don't want to act like I've gone through this, but I've walked with folks that have gone through this. And, you know, I think the thing that can be most helpful is that we walk with them.
Yeah.
Right? We go enter into their pain. We're there present with what's happening.
Let's capture that for a second because you're a Christian counselor. You're trained to be with people in their suffering. You're inviting, though. You're saying we all can do that.
Why not? And we should. Because I think what happens is we get afraid of their pain, mm-hmm. or it's too much, mm-hmm. or it feels like we don't know how to respond to somebody, right? Don't know the right thing to say.
Right.
And, you know, that makes, I mean, sure, we've all felt that at times, don't quite know what to say. You've handled funerals, right? Mm-hmm. You've handled that, I don't know, how many times you think you've
done? Lots of them, yeah.
Countless times sure. where you've walked with people that are burying somebody. So you've mm-hmm. been in those contexts a lot. I've been in those contexts a lot with folks. But you're right. Most people haven't been in that context, mm-hmm. and they really don't know what to say or what you know to do. But when you can just be with them fully and just sit with them in what's happening in their life so they don't feel so isolated, mm-hmm. alone in that, right?
Right.
If they feel like people are engaged, if they get engaged with people, that's a huge help.
So join in the suffering.
And
don't be afraid of it.
Oh, right. And let others
join you in your suffering.
Yes. Don't shut them out. Block them out.
That's good.
Be open to what people have to offer you, which is also a hard thing for some, yeah. you know, folks to do.
I wonder if one of the things that makes this season in particular so challenging for people who have experienced loss or change, it kind of goes back to what you've said, is when we think of the holidays, the first word that comes to mind isn't usually change. In fact, it's the things we know. It's the things we're familiar with, right?
Yeah.
And when the things that were once familiar, the people who were there or the job that I had is not there anymore, then that too can be a reminder or a trigger.
Oh, sure.
That things are different now, and I don't want things to be different because Christmas is tradition, and tradition means I'm going to embrace things that were the same year after year after year. True?
Yes, sir. So you're saying focusing in on what's not there?
Yeah.
Loss.
Yeah.
What's lost?
Absolutely.
And who's lost?
Right.
And how to respond to that?
Sure.
Loss, that they're not there, that it's not the same?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're asking me for a response to that?
I would love a little insight if you have any.
I'm not. So here's how I think about that loss. And so I went through a recent change in my church where we had a major shift, changing things. And I had been at this church for a long time, 20 years. And so all of a sudden, there was going to be a new deal, a new pastors, and things were going to change. And
top to bottom, just
top to bottom.
Complete change.
Well, yeah, it would not be the same church. So that's mm-hmm. loss.
Mm-hmm.
That's change. And it shocked me mm-hmm. how much it upset me that this place meant a lot to me, which I didn't know.
It maybe meant more than you thought.
It definitely did.
Yeah.
And so I had a dream one night that I was dying. And we fell, and it was like I was somewhere, and I was with my sister. I don't know why I was with her. But we fell through a hole, and I said, I'm going to die here. I get to find out what it's like. So I'm falling, yelling out Jesus' name. And I wake up before I die, which I guess is good because I'm still alive. But what, you know, that's a dream that's about being anxious,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That's a falling dream.
Yes.
Anxiety. So it shocked me how much keeping things the same, to
yes.
your point,
yeah.
to not change things, how it will produce anxiety in us because we don't know what's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how to act. We don't know what to expect. It shakes us up.
So change in many ways is a lot like a death in and of itself.
Absolutely.
And then that probably leads us to the other truth about that is there's also grief then. You're grieving that
loss.
Things are changing at your church. We grieve that the change has come when we would not necessarily have chosen it for ourselves.
That's right. And that might sound like a small thing, you know, church changing leadership, but you know, it hit me that way and it hit me that way.
But Don, I think that's the point. I think oftentimes we minimize the impact of even the smallest change.
Yeah.
And so when we talk like we are today about how do you find joy in the holiday season in the midst of loss or change, it doesn't necessarily have to be related to something magnanimous and ultra tragic. In fact, that's probably what we do. We'll so minimize even the smaller changes that impact us more than we realize.
Yeah, that's good.
No, and so you wouldn't compare the change of church leadership to the loss of a child.
No.
But it still impacted you to the extent that you had this dream about dying to something.
It has shocked me how much it meant to me. But yes, that's right. And it just, however things hit you, they hit you.
Yeah.
And you have to start with how you respond to things and, you know, react to things. Mm-hmm. You can only start with what's going on inside of you.
Right.
And we shouldn't put on people that they should respond in a certain way.
Absolutely. One of the things that I think we also have to pay attention to when we're experiencing loss, change, and when we're in search of meaning in that or what's true about it is the concern we feel for others. A lot of times we don't necessarily just think about ourselves in terms of our grief and loss, but we're also...
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
We're back with Searching for Joy this holiday season. I'm Greg Chandler. I am a pastor who has served a couple of different churches in the central Kentucky area for about 25 years. Don Sizemore is a licensed clinical social worker. That's right. You are a friend. I didn't mention that, which if people haven't picked up on that by now, this is what
old friends.
We're just sitting over having a chat over some coffee. But Don is a counselor in the Lexington area and has done so for more than 25 years. So I guess between us, I would say we have 50 years of something.
Yeah.
Probably just we're just old. And that's really all that means.
Right. We've survived, too.
We won't do that.
Yeah.
Don, we were talking just a second ago about this idea of loss or change and then trying to find joy. Our loss isn't just ours. Sometimes it impacts a family unit and structure. Mm-hmm. And so suddenly there are times, let's say if I'm a parent and I have kids and there's been loss that's impacted our family unit, sometimes I'm more concerned about them and more attentive to them than I am myself. Can this be a potential source of...
So where you're not focusing on what you need,
yes.
You're focusing on what somebody else needs.
Especially around the holidays, and we're going to talk about this in just a little bit, but for many of us, we want to make the holidays great for everybody. We want to create a certain expectation that we have. So what happens when I ignore my own grief or my own process of loss when I'm more concerned about those that are around me?
So I think that's the way people will cope. So that they don't have to face their pain, loss, grief. So we will cope sometimes by taking care of someone else because we really don't know how to deal with our own hurt, pain.
And that
loss.
Actually looks like a good thing
because
it looks like I'm being benevolent and caring towards someone else.
Sets you up for a hard time.
Because you're what, avoiding? Or?
Yes. Yeah. Huh. Well, sure. Sure. You're not having to work through what's happened to you. And, you know, that is a classic kind of way to push things aside.
An avoidance measure.
Denial of what's going on inside yourself and the pain that's there, the hurt that's there. And it's one way to just, you know, I think people get a feeling of being overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And they know they can focus on somebody else, and I can help you. I know how to help you, but I don't know how to help myself.
Now you're really meddling, brother.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, like, have you had that happen before? Is that just something you wanted to talk about?
I've probably seen that in some in my extended family. I've seen examples of people that are really great at providing care for everybody else,
like,
but they do not care for themselves.
Okay.
And they feel better about themselves. Well, it's codependency is what it is.
Yeah.
I feel better by making you feel better.
Yes.
And that's an endless well, isn't it?
And that puts off the grieving
it delays
process.
It.
Yeah. It puts it off. Yes.
It's not dealing with the grief. So what am I doing? I'm just going to pay for it later, right?
Yes. Yeah. So healing comes by grieving. Healing comes through grieving, actually suffering. It doesn't come any other
Don,
way.
I don't want to grieve. I don't want to suffer. Why are you inviting me in?
So I
that?
Tell folks that all the time, and you get the same response. Because you have to walk into it and walk through it. You can't go over it or around it or under it. Mm-hmm. You have to grieve through it. So we that's a hard thing. So during the season, this holiday season, mm-hmm. if you have a moment that comes up and something hits you, right, about I remember this person or and the pain hits you, mm-hmm. the loss hits you, you hear a song,
oh, yeah,
or
triggers.
You see a show, and it, right.
Taste so, a taste, smell a smell.
Exactly.
I mean, and this season offers all of that in abundance.
And it comes on you full force, the pain of this person's gone, loss. Mm-hmm. You need to let yourself feel it.
Don't run away from it.
Don't run away from it.
Okay.
Sit in it. Go with it. Now, if you can't do it by yourself, find somebody to be with you in that.
It's back to sharing suffering.
Yes.
Yeah.
But don't hang. Yeah. When it happens, let it happen.
This probably plays a little bit to it. I've been giving some thought about things that we will do to try to cope when we've experienced loss or change in the holidays, and that's we try to numb our pain. That's one way we do it.
Okay.
Is caring for other people, right, to the extent that we ignore what are some other ways we probably numb our pain, and this time of year probably affords a lot of it, would be substance
alcohol.
Abuse. Yeah, there you go. Because we're invited to parties and there's just this invitation to indulge.
Yes.
And so I can numb
That's
myself
my
with overeating. That's my favorite too.
Yeah.
Although there's no snacks here in the studio.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
not sure. We'll have to talk to somebody about that.
Yeah.
But alcohol consumption, any of those things can help us for a moment feel overspending.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Good.
This
yep.
time of year, especially,
yeah.
I'm
yeah.
trying to just kind of get through the holidays. And so I make myself feel temporarily better
yeah.
by going and buying gifts, which, again, in and of itself seems like a good idea, unless I don't have the money to pay. We're just numbing ourselves, aren't we, at this point?
Numbing ourselves and, I think, fooling ourselves, because it's like we can get some sense of a handle on it. I know if I'm doing something like eating or alcohol or something like that, it gives us some way to, I'm doing something
mm-hmm.
that takes me away from all of that. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, it moves me away from.
And I have a sense of power. I have a sense of control over what's happening to me.
At least you feel like you have that control.
Choosing to eat or I'm
yeah.
choosing to drink. I'm doing something about mm-hmm. the pain mm-hmm. that helps it. And as you said, it's not actual help, short-term help.
It's so we're doing
control, though. I think,
we're doing to ourselves emotionally what we're doing, what we do with ourselves financially. In other words, we're charging our emotions,
oh,
and the
good.
Bill's going to come due right after the holidays
oh,
are
good.
Over, right? We're going to have
good.
To face it at one
So, like,
time
how
or another.
Come you think we act that way? What's your thought about, and I have a thought, but I wondered what your thought, how come we avoid this pain? I'm thinking fear would be like one thing.
Well, sure.
That I'm afraid of this,
mm-hmm.
so I want to get away from it. So, like, what's your thought?
It's the word you raised a minute ago that I thought was really insightful, and that's control.
Control.
When I grieve and mm-hmm. when I acknowledge suffering, I release control.
Lose control. And you don't have
because
control.
Grieving acknowledges that something I once had is no longer there, and I couldn't control keeping it.
And then we're afraid, helpless.
Yeah.
Those feelings of being helpless are huge.
Hmm.
And yet
we don't want to be helpless.
We don't. But I think as a spiritual thing, a path maybe to a joy, if we follow Jesus's path, mm-hmm. you know, for the joy set before him, he suffered a cross. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's a means. I'm just saying when we learn to live in helplessness and we learn to live, we don't have power control mm-hmm. all the time, right?
Yeah.
That then things begin maybe open up for us
mm-hmm.
that we can find those things that we hunger for, peace, joy, if I'm not in control.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the positive sides, and I don't know if you wanted to go here yet, but I'm just having this whole
sure.
thought,
yeah.
that one of the positive sides of suffering, loss, grief, is that we're able to kind of accept, hopefully at the end of it, that we don't have all this power and control. And learning to live in that space mm. where it's okay.
So it could
Does
lead
that make
us.
Sense?
Yes. Here's another way of saying it. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe on the other side of the journey of sorrow and grief, if we can journey through, and if we can journey through with someone who is with us and cares for us and that, and help maybe guide us there, we'll come to realize that having journeyed through the grief and the sorrow was actually less painful than managing all of the things that I was doing to manage not to go through it.
Yeah.
Is that another way of saying it?
Yeah.
Because we've suddenly found the freedom to say,
that's good.
I surrender.
Yeah.
And none of us, that's another word, because
that
the opposite of control
word.
Is surrender, right? Another way to say, I don't want to have to surrender.
That's very good. Yes.
Yeah.
And to still find love or peace in that loss, helplessness, fear,
yeah.
you know, it takes away so much when you can let that happen and you find God is still on the other side of this.
So the challenge is to pay attention to your activities around the holidays, because the activities that you're involved with could be an indicator at some level.
Not good.
And the degree to which you're involved in those things could be an indication that you're trying to manage something that you've not dealt with inside. So
good.
It would be like, I'm overeating. I'm drinking too much. I'm spending
shopping
too much.
Shopping too much. Yeah.
Yes. I'm trying to make the holidays magical and glorious for everyone else.
That's good.
And so I'm so busy with those things. The problem is, you can only do that for so long
yeah.
until what? Exhaustion sets in.
Yeah. And then one point it comes home, it hits you, that doesn't work.
I want to talk in just a moment when we return about the ultimate discouraging thought that people might have this time
okay.
of year if they're in the pit of despair, and that might be just taking their own life. So we'll talk more about that in just a minute. When we return, we're talking about how to find joy in the holiday season. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
We're back now with Finding Joy This Holiday Season, Searching for Joy. Greg Chandler, I'm a pastor in the Central Kentucky area for 25 years, along with Don Sizemore, a counselor who runs a practice here. And we're just having a discussion about how to find joy in the holidays, especially in the midst of loss or change. Don, we had touched just a moment ago on the idea of what happens when someone reaches just the place of despair where they feel like there really isn't anything worth living for. And sometimes even the cultural cues around them drive them to this because they hear all of these sentiments that everything is supposed to be wonderful and they're feeling everything. But what comes to mind and how would you encourage someone who might even be listening now who's at that place where they feel like, I just don't even want to live anymore?
Wow. So that they might be thinking about suicide?
Yeah, maybe so.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I think when somebody gets to that point where they're contemplating taking their own life, ending it, they are totally isolated and alone. Mm-hmm. So the one thing that really helps more than anything else, short of meds or things like that, medication might help, but is that you don't be alone. Don't isolate yourself. Mm-hmm. Reach out to people. Let them know that what's going on in your mind and your heart, that you're having these thoughts, mm-hmm. that it's too much. I want to stop this. I'll do anything to stop this. I might as well end it now. That's the only way that it's going to stop the pain. So if you're having thoughts like that, those are, you know, suicidal thoughts. Mm-hmm. And so you want to let somebody know that you're having those thoughts.
Name them. Name those thoughts.
Well, and
right.
Reach out to somebody.
Yes.
Yes. Name those thoughts and reach out so that you can get somebody to, you know, respond to you and help.
Isn't it true that in your experience, it has been for me a little bit as a pastor as well, that I've, when I've walked with families that are experiencing the loss of a loved one due to suicide, is they will say, I had no idea.
That's right. Exactly.
And that's because there wasn't a revelation,
no
a transparency. Right. Right. The person didn't reach out and say, I'm afraid or I'm thinking this. And so the encouragement is if you're thinking these things, there is help. And I think what we would say to people is hurting that deeply, for you to hurt so deeply that you would think your life isn't worth anything, that doesn't make you weird. It probably makes you kind of human.
Absolutely.
And so reach out in that humanness to other human beings. And
I think what you're saying is right. The people that actually go through it don't ever say anything. And the ones that do not usually have talked about it and, you know, reached out. And, you know, I don't consider myself really an expert on this subject. And I'm sure there's a lot of good research out there, but the things that I know and the people that I've seen, walked with, and I've had two or three suicides in my practice, and as you say, just as you say, they gave me no idea, they gave their family no idea, so there really is something, and even sometimes there's not symptoms and signs. Now, you will hear that there are, but it's really hard to know and predict. Mm-hmm. So the one thing that's really important is you've got to let somebody know the kind of thoughts you're having that upset you and not isolate yourself. Mm-hmm. If you isolate yourself, I mean, that's the one thing that can send you down that path.
Right.
So, you know, that's really serious stuff. And it's shocking when you're shocked they committed suicide, had no idea. You hear that all the time.
Well, and the irony is during the holidays, there is probably as much opportunity for interaction with others.
Yeah.
And yet it can be one of the most lonely, isolating times for people. So I think the call is name it, reach out.
Yeah, and I think that's a good term, if it's okay if we look at that. How do people end up feeling so isolated in these moments? How come they feel so alone and connected, and what can they do? What can we do to kind of get out of that place of being isolated, right? Mm-hmm. So like one thought is that, you know, we will think we're the only ones that feel like this.
Right.
Or somebody can't really understand how I feel. Mm-hmm. So we want to look at the thoughts mm-hmm. and the kind of thoughts we're having mm-hmm. about those kind of things. So does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I think another thing is we don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to admit weakness.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's another reason we don't share. So that's the encouragement we would give even anyone listening is go and name. There are plenty of places where people would. As a pastor, I find the people that come to me in that kind of a vulnerable state and uh-huh. say, I'm hurting so deeply that, ... I find those people to be the most courageous people.
That's right.
Because they're willing to name it. So that's our
encouragement. And they get the help they need.
Yes.
It works. It works. Mm-hmm. People get help. People that do come and ask for help usually don't commit a suicide. It's a fact.
Don, is there any chance that it's possible to have a pain-free holiday? Do you think the holidays can ever be what we expect and hope that they'll be?
I have a thought, but it's probably not a very good thought. But
no, go ahead.
I mean, they're not pain-free. I don't think they're – I mean, I think a lot of people really have fun this time of year. Mm-hmm. Some people get into it. It's a big deal for them. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome when you're hanging out with those folks. Mm-hmm. And they just get into the parties and the social stuff and the putting up – trees.
I'll admit I'm one of those people.
Okay, and that's great to be here. And I love being around people like that.
Yes.
Carolyn, my wife, is that same way. So that helps us. But the only thing that can be painful for her is me, probably during the season. Is that I might not like something or, mm-hmm. you know, playing. But I think it can be painful. It can be pain-free.
Hmm.
I mean,
if we have a certain mindset. No, I think it can be too, but I think it begins with this. I think it begins with not setting up the holidays to be what they were never intended to be. And not creating, and I do this. So okay. I'm now, as a pastor, I'm preaching to myself.
Okay.
I, every year, enter into the holiday season expecting a magical season of experience with my kids, with my extended family, the food, the sights, the sounds, the smells, the presents. And it doesn't always, in fact, most never delivers to the degree that I expect it to. Now, do I have a good time?
Right. Measure up.
Doesn't quite get there. Now, do I enjoy that? There are moments of real joy and satisfaction, but mostly it never gets to where. So part of what I think we would encourage people to do is look ahead a little bit toward the holiday season and prepare. In fact, isn't that what this season of Advent is all about?
Yep.
Preparation.
Yep.
I'm preparing the space within
for him
for the
come.
Arrival,
yeah.
for his moving into the space within that I create for him. And so I think it's preparation. We don't set the holidays up to be what they can't be.
And I think if we focus on that and not everything else, that would help a lot. That it's his time. We celebrate at the advent of his movement into our world where he showed up.
What happens for me when I expect perfection from this season is it just makes me, when those expectations then are not met or I can sense that they're not going to be met, I get anxious, I get stressful, I kind of get rigid, and then eventually I get sad.
Yeah,
because I go, what happened? I was really hoping that this was going to be a wonderful time and it didn't measure up, and I'm sad about that.
So that's grieving, isn't it?
Yes.
Because it's a loss of expectation.
I think we would also say, in addition to preparing, or another way to prepare would be planning, just at a real practical level.
Uh-huh.
Plan for expenses and plan for how much you're going to eat. And
now you're hitting me.
Okay. Yeah. We react to those things.
That's right.
We walk into a party and we just consume. We don't think in advance, I need to make sure I'm moderating the intake here.
Or we see something, oh, she would love
gotta
that.
Have
and
it.
We go out and buy something way too much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, gosh.
I think we should also plan about who we're going to be with. Let's talk about one of the pitfalls of the season is, as much as we talk about how much it's important to be around people, there are some people you probably shouldn't be around.
Very good.
They're life takers.
Yes, that is very good.
Yeah, my preacher said the other day, you're going to be one of two people. You're going to be a joy giver, or you're going to be a joy taker.
Stealer.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
A joy stealer.
Yeah.
So set boundaries with the people that are your joy stealers, right?
And that's okay to say that.
Even around the holidays?
Say no.
Say no.
This won't work, or yes, say no.
Let's come back in just a moment and talk about this season as the sufferer's season. And I'll tease with that. We'll be back in just a moment.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Back now with Searching for Joy this holiday season, Greg Chandler and Don Sizemore. Don, we just said that we wanted to talk a little bit now as we wrap with this final segment about this season and really what the season is all about. Because up to this point, we've really talked about our expectations.
Okay.
And maybe it's important to focus a little bit on God's desire for this season and what He would long for us to embrace.
Huh.
In it.
Okay.
One of the things that could happen when you're suffering, when you're joyless in this joyful season, is that you can start to question or blame God even.
Oh, yeah.
For where you found yourself or the loss that you've experienced. And so the question might be, why did God let this happen to me?
Yes. That's hard.
When that question is asked of you, how do you respond? As a counselor, a wise one, Don Sizemore.
Well, you set me up right there. Thank you very much. Well, you can respond to it on several levels. So when I hear that, why did this happen to me, or how come God let that happen? I mean, I feel the same way. Mm-hmm. When something happens to me that I didn't expect, I didn't see coming, I don't have an answer to, I don't know how to respond to, I get scared or I get hopeless. Mm-hmm. Why would somebody that loves you allow this to happen? Mm. Profound thing, right? A question.
Yes.
It's a profound question, and it's one we need to be able to answer. And so, you know, all I can give you is the answer that makes sense to me, mm-hmm. is that God came into this world, Emmanuel, to suffer with us, mm. Emmanuel, mm. God with us. So when I think about suffering, when I talk to people about why did this happen, I have no idea. And I don't really think we know why these things happen. And we always say, well, maybe we'll find out it someday. But that's really not the issue. Why? It has happened. Mm-hmm. It happens all the time. Awful things happen all over the world throughout centuries, right? So bad things happen. And I don't know if we can answer why. I don't know if we should ask why. I think it's the wrong thing to ask. But what we need to know is that Jesus is mm-hmm. with us in the suffering in this world.
Mm-hmm. So the truth isn't that God has abandoned you or turned his back on you or even caused this to happen to you. The truth actually then is that pain and suffering is a sign that we live in a broken world.
Yes.
And that's why Emmanuel
Man, that's why Emmanuel.
So
that's huge.
That's the hope. God is with us. That is the message of Christmas, that Jesus is with us. If there were no pain, if there were no sin,
loss,
if there were no loss or separation,
death,
or brokenness or death, there would be no need for Christmas.
That's right.
Is what it comes down to. So Jesus came as God's way of dealing with the pain,
yes,
of dealing with the sin and brokenness and death. But
it's his answer.
Yes.
To all of that. And, you know, when you think about that, mm-hmm, and you say it to somebody, their automatic thought is, well, that's not enough. I'm still hurting. Mm-hmm. I'm still confused. I'm still afraid. Right?
Yes.
I mean, I understand where people end up with that. I end up there. And there's a period of that, working through that fear or the pain or feeling overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And we always land back with him. But he's here with us. If you don't understand that he's with you in this, and you're on this, dealing with this by yourself and on your own and alone, if your faith, it's faith, trust, that he really is in this with us, loves us to walk with us through all this stuff.
Right. Maybe another way to say it is this.
Okay.
As bad as we may feel in our season of loss or change, our sin problem is far worse,
okay,
than that loss.
Uh-huh.
Is that a fair thing to say?
I think that's a hard thing to say.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's the sin problem that he came to deal with. Yes.
Well, see, okay. So we might have a whole nother podcast on this one.
That's the point.
Yes. Because it makes my mind go someplace else. But, the brokenness that sin caused,
yes,
is what we're hurting by.
Mm-hmm.
Death came into the world, right, when sin entered the world.
Right. And all, not God's idea.
No. And right, all those things came into the world, mm-hmm, and he came in to set that, mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. So certainly. But I was just going in my head, well, when somebody's sitting there hurting, it's hard for them to hear that, you know, sin is more involved than their pain, mm-hmm, loss, mm-hmm, which, you know, maybe we're too egocentric, too tied up in ourselves, mm-hmm, in that regard. But that was my thought.
I like the thought, and I think that's a fair thing to say, but it's good for us to be reminded that the brokenness is a result of sin.
Yes.
I have a funeral that I'm going to be doing. It's a tragic funeral that's coming up in a couple of days, and one of the things that I always say, the circumstances, I should say, around the death were tragic. When we're at the funeral, at the graveside, I've had many of these with families,
uh-huh,
is I say, this was never God's idea. Cemeteries were never God's idea.
Amen.
And so he made a way for us to deal with the fact that cemeteries are a fact of our mortality. But we try to find our hope in so many other ways. We try to find it in other people. And we have to remember that if we're going to find the peace of Christmas, the peace of Christ, and therefore the joy that that brings, we're not going to find that in our parents. We're not going to find it in our spouse.
Yeah.
We're not going to find it in our kids or our friends or our jobs.
Meals or
all
Christmas meals.
All of the things that we'll surround ourselves with. We're going to find that in the gift of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:32 says, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for all of us, won't he also give us everything else?
Mm. Mm.
Everything else.
So that joy that we can have in this season is a movement from this place of loss, hopelessness, and pain. Mm. When we begin to see what you just said, a vision, glimpse of Jesus and what he did when he came into the world and what he did when he died, that he opened up a whole new world for us,
mm-hmm,
that we don't have to live in this place of brokenness, loss, suffering, and pain. It's not the final thing. answer. It's not the final answer.
Because it can feel that way.
It feels that way. I've reached the end. Yes.
In my pain, and we don't imagine the next chapter and that it could get any better.
Yes. And it does. He came and overcame death, resurrection, life. Mm. After death, that's what he says to me, is that there is life after these deaths or losses or grief. So we don't focus on, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So in the midst of the twinkling lights and the wonderful meals and all of the fun aesthetics associated with this time of year, part of how we get to an acknowledgement of what's true is embracing this season as a as the sufferer season. Mm. This is why Jesus came, to suffer. And so we celebrate the baby Jesus. This is where a lot of people are confused, because in December they celebrate the birth, and in Easter. March and April we he's gone.
Yeah.
And right, I mean, we kind of reduce it down to that level of experience.
Yeah.
And we forget why.
Yeah. And what he's actually done.
Yes.
And so living into that, we got to help each other live into those things. Mm. And whether it's church services, friends, liturgy, sacraments, communion, those are all means, reminders of this is him in life.
And best experienced, I'll say it again, you just did, in community.
Yes.
Life together. Well, I want to begin to draw us to a close, and I want to look at a prayer that was offered by Father Thomas Keating.
Yeah.
This is a prayer that may not be completely true of any of us at the moment, but it's kind of a prayer that I want to embrace as being possibly true.
Awesome prayer.
It could possibly be true, and so I want to just share that with us now. It's called the Welcoming Prayer. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes my way today, because I know it can be for my healing. I welcome thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for power and control.
There you go.
I let go of my desire for affection and esteem. I let go of my longing for approval and pleasure. I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my tireless effort to change situations and conditions.
Yep.
I let go of my tireless effort to change people or even myself. Father, I release that to you.
Mm.
I open to the love and presence of you, Father, and your work within.
Yeah.
I think that's the way.
That's an awesome prayer.
Of joy.
Yeah, and you say that over and over again when you find yourself in these, to remind yourself of what's actually happening.
Our prayer for you is that you'll find joy this season and the peace that Christ has brought. And we're grateful that you listened today. Greg Chandler and Don Sizemore. We hope
to
speak with you again at another time. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to BreadBox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. BreadBox Media. Get the app, change the world.